Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my partner, John Dedon. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Wayne. Great to be here.
Great to have you again. And our special guest, Dean Catino. Welcome, Dean.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Welcome to the show. Dean is a lead business manager and financial planning manager at Monument Wealth Management. Where's Monument located?
We're located in Old Town, Alexandria.
Excellent. And before I forget, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you?
You can find us on the web at monumentwealthmanagement.com. And that's probably the best way to get us right now.
Okay. You're the lead portfolio manager for the firm's dividend and income portfolio strategy, and you focus on individual retirement income needs for your clients. You're also a CFP and also a chartered retirement planning counselor. John, I'm sure I'll ask about that. Prior to founding Monument, Dean served as a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch in D.C., and he brings over 25 years of financial and leadership experience to his role at Monument Wealth Management. John, it's all yours.
Thanks, Wayne. You know, I've had the pleasure of working with Dean and his group for several years now. Dean, tell me a bit about your company and your colleagues.
Sure. The four of us, there's four founding partners of Monument Wealth Management, myself, Dave Armstrong, Tim Lee, and Tim Mickey. We were all at Merrill Lynch probably for 10 years before starting Monument. Two of us had worked together, and we all knew each other and all had offices very close to one another. And what we decided to do was in early 2007, basically move out on our own and go to an independent platform that allowed us to do certain things that we weren't able to accomplish in a big Wall Street firm.
That's pretty interesting that here you are, four guys very accomplished at Merrill Lynch, and you decide to try something new. There must have been some compelling reasons to do so.
Yeah, there certainly was. I mean, one of the main things, being a CFP, And in our practices, we tend to lead with financial planning. Planning is the key to everything we do. To just invest without a plan, I think you're missing the boat.
Well, I know in working with you that you've been really helpful on my end of it, doing the legal work, because you are in a position to do the financial modeling and to really help bring home some of the concepts because of the financial planning that you do.
That's correct. Yeah, it's like I said before, it's one of the key things that we do. We tend to lead with that. We model it out in a very unique fashion. Whenever we talk to somebody, we talk about the speed or the rate of return that they want to get. I'm from New Jersey, New York area. I live down here in the Washington, D.C. area. It's about a five-hour car trip from here up to New York. If I can make that trip in 3 hours or 3.5 hours, I'm going at a very high rate of speed. And there's a couple things that are going to happen. Probably going to get in an accident. Most definitely going to get a ticket. So the same thing holds true for planning in your portfolio. People that want to go at a very high rate of speed, get a very high return, they run into a lot of risks. And what we want to do is make sure that we take people from point A to point B, get them there safely, and make sure they realize what they plan for.
So in doing the planning, you're taking into consideration a number of factors, I assume, such as the risk tolerance, as you allude to, the age of the client, their other objectives?
Absolutely. Those are the key, some of the key components that we look at. We also take a look at some other things, too, which are very interesting. We take a look at what we define as survival needs, and these are non-negotiable: food, clothing, healthcare, shelter. Now, they become very, very important, especially when you're retired. Because when you're retired, you don't have that pay income coming in. That income's got to come from some other source. So what we do is we make sure that we take that those survival needs, those non-negotiable needs, and we make sure that we solidify them with a very stable form of income. That's key, because when the market goes down like it did in 2008, 2009, we don't want to have people moving out of a well-diversified portfolio, moving to cash, and then missing when the market moves up again. So we want to make sure that those survival needs are covered. Lifestyle needs are the next thing that we talk about. Those are negotiable. I don't need to have a new car every 3 years. I don't necessarily need to go out for dinner three times a week.
Who said?
Well, you know, those are
good examples.
Yeah, they are.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about how people may have panicked or perhaps they were not diversified properly. They got out of the market, and here you are talking on a day when the market is back to the levels it was 3 years ago.
It's true. I mean, if you were to ask people in the at the bottom of the financial crisis if in a short order of time, you know, less than 3 years, if we were to be moving out of it and back where we were, I think a lot of people would be very surprised to have someone say that.
So I can't let you leave here without asking about your crystal ball and what do you foresee into the future?
It's a great question. I wish I had a great answer for you. I can tell you how our portfolios are positioned for this year. We do like equities this year. We're concerned about bond exposure, especially with the fear of interest rates moving up. We do like smaller companies, small cap companies, and we like growth over value right now. But we do see sometime within the next 12 months a slight shift to more larger companies, and our portfolios are geared that way right now.
Yeah, I think the moral of the story is perhaps nobody has a crystal ball, so it's the advantage of working with a firm like yours where people will be able to stay diversified and get the best help that's out there.
Yeah, that's well said, John.
Tell me about how you guys complement each other, because I've had the pleasure of working with all of your partners, and I don't know that our audience would appreciate what a good team that you have. Please tell us somewhat about it.
Like I said, we have four partners. Myself and Tim Lee, we focus on the financial planning portion of the practice. The two other partners, Dave Armstrong and Tim Mickey, focus on the investment side of the business. Now, another interesting component of our practice is that when a client comes into the firm, it's not necessarily my client. Now, that client may gravitate to me as the primary advisor. However, the client is a firm client, so we want to make sure that all four partners have access to that client. And that's worked out very well for us. It's a real team approach. It allows any one partner to be out of the office, and for if a client were to call in and have a situation, the other three people, the key partners, would know that client very, very well.
Yeah, and I've seen that because when I'm in the office, clients come in and they seem to know all of you. So it is a nice approach, and I'm sure they feel comforted by that.
It really is. I mean, the other thing I'll mention, too, is right now we have four staff people. We have a couple of part-time people as well. So we're rounded out in a very good format for our clientele.
Is there a particular client that is your target that you specialize in?
We tend to work with business owners. It's an entrepreneurial outlook that we aspire to as well, and we gravitate to. I think the business owner represents a great client for us, mainly because they are focusing a lot of their attention on growing that business, that one giant asset, which has become integral in their financial lives. And eventually, what a lot of those business owners may want to do is exit out of that business. And when they have an exit event, a lot of times clients are focused on, you know, selling that to the next party, and to the detriment of their own personal financial situation. So we tend to work with that client to make sure that their plan is in place, to work out scenarios that talk about and speak to what's going to happen with that primary asset of theirs as they go through that that exit strategy.
Yeah, because you can talk about working with business owners and the entrepreneurial aspect. You guys have actually lived it when you started your own company 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Do you help the business owners with their business planning?
Not their specific business planning. We can put them in contact with a lot of people that we work with, specifically like business brokers, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
But you help them with their financial planning so that they're gauged and ready to pass the business on or engage in an exit strategy.
Absolutely. And to do it in hopefully the most tax efficient manner as possible.
Right.
Yeah, we're involved in an example right now with one of Dean's clients where the owner is looking to do some transfers into a trust to do the succession planning for his children. And where Dean's firm has been instrumental is they've been able to come in and do some modeling for the client to show even if these assets were transferred, there's still plenty of liquidity and cash flow available so that that client's comfortable making the gifts. So it goes back to my earlier comment where they're able to really help and make a concept come to life and give the client the ability to see what the transfers will do.
That's a valuable, valuable service that you're providing to the client because as lawyers, which, you know, we engage in this type of work, if we didn't have you backing us up or leading the effort, we, you know, the client never would have that comfort, would they?
Right, because it's one thing to say legally, we know what the legal concept is that should be applied. But those are just tools, and it helps to have the numbers there and the financial modeling to really add life to it.
Yeah. I can also add this, too, and John was instrumental in this case because the client wanted to make sizable gifts, $5 million gifts between he and his wife, take advantage of that, but didn't want to necessarily lose control. And John was able to help with that aspect legally to make sure the client had some control over that gift.
Yeah, I think it shows that we're all experts, but we're only experts in our field. And there's disciplines, and we need to complement each other both on the legal side, the financial side, and on the accounting side.
Absolutely.
Tell me about yourself. We've talked a lot about your firm. How did you get into the financial industry?
This actually goes back, I'll probably date myself a little bit, but it goes back to the time when I was interning for my girlfriend's father, who was a CPA. I ended up marrying this woman. I saw that I really gravitated to the accounting background and graduated with a degree in accounting. But after a couple of years out of school, made the determination that I wanted to go in a different direction. And this goes back to the 80s when the market started taking off and everyone wanted to be a broker. I can remember actually interviewing with Merrill Lynch back in the day. And I was a 23, 24-year-old guy. And they said to me, you know, Dean, we really like your background. Can you get a couple of years sales experience? And I said, okay, sure. So I did 16 years of sales experience with a major German pharmaceutical company. I actually was running the East Coast for them. And then when I was 40 years old, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I'm going back to those folks that didn't want to take me when I was 23. And they took me in a heartbeat when I was 40.
Well, they wanted a couple years. You gave them a few more.
But it worked out very, very well for me. And I'm really happy because even though we moved from Merrill Lynch is a very good company, got very good training there. We just kind of outgrew the platform and wanted something a little different for our clients.
I would think that your accounting background also helps you, particularly with the business owners, as you're able to help them with their financial statements and trying to understand what's going on within the business.
It does. There's a few cobwebs back as it's been a few years, but it certainly does. It's a great, as I said to my kids, it's a great foundation to have that business accounting background.
Dean, any thoughts on what a model portfolio would look like? I know you talked about what you are comfortable on as far as going into the future and what stocks or not stocks, but really different areas you like. Mm-hmm. What should a fundamental portfolio look like?
Well, again, a lot of it is going to be dependent on the particular client. I mean, we have a lot of tools in our toolbox. But there's so many different designs that need to be built. It's very, very personal. I can tell you this, that every single client portfolio that is built is independent. There's nothing that's cookie cutter with respect to how we design a portfolio. But it's, you know, it's obviously it's traditional equities, it's ETFs, it's mutual funds, bonds, alternatives, investments, etc.
We're talking with Dean Catino, who is a managing director at Monument Wealth Management. Dean, if people want to get in touch with you, again, how do they do that?
It's monumentwealthmanagement.com.
And John Dedon, if people want to get in touch with you about estate planning and trust planning services, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, Wayne, I have the benefit of working with you. So by getting in touch with you, they can get in touch with me, and they can also Google my estate planning blog at DDON on Estate Planning.
Which was named one of the top 25 estate planning blogs in the country. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. We're out of time today, but to join us next week for another special topic and special guest, have a great week.